Support for Sauce Up the Scary is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They have obsessed over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And guys, let's be honest. Jeff and I come on here every week, and we tell you about whether or not we saw something scary. And to me, the scariest thing I can think of is having some kind of accident while you're trying to groom yourself. Fellas, you've probably been there before. You're getting ready for a big date. Things are looking good. All of a sudden, you realize you need to trim a little bit of the bush. So what do? You break out your beard trimmer. And fellas, you can't break out your beard trimmer for something that delicate and that precise. I mean, that's like trying to shave your face with Freddy Krueger's hand. It just doesn't work. And then all of a sudden, you look down there, and you've got more blood than Carrie on prom night. I mean, come on. Thankfully, Manscaped has redesigned the electrical trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has spent over 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. That's right. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade that reduces manscaping accidents. Millions of men are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Manscaping accidents, my friends, are about to be a thing of the past. I want to tell you, this thing's premium. I mean, it is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. And hey, let's be honest. Some of us are a little bit hairier than the others, right? I mean, hopefully you don't take the whole 90 minutes, Chewbacca, but if you do, you've got it right here. And its water-resistant technology allows you to groom in the shower. But that's not all. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trim. All right, now you can look down there, make sure that everything's smooth so you don't wind up looking like Pinhead for your lady friend. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. That's right, there's a Ferrari engine in this thing, and it's as quiet as the grave. Let's not forget about that charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me right now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to try this thing out for yourself firsthand. Go ahead, trim that junk of yours. Go to manscaped.com. Get 20% off with free shipping using the promo code SCARY Pod at checkout. And ladies, you're probably wondering, Derek, what does this have to do with me? Well, hey, Father's Day's coming up, and the perfect Father's Day gift would be to give your special man the Lawnmower 3.0. Not only would it be a gift for him, it'd be a gift for you too. It's going to be the perfect grooming tool for your strangers. Remember, 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARYPOD at manscaped.com. That's right, 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code SCARYPOD. But for now, enjoy the show. All right, what's up, everybody? Derek Zoo, Jeff Wright here on another episode of Saw Something Scary. Jeff, what's going on, man? How are you?
I don't know if it's the coronavirus sitting in on me and I don't have lung capacity, or it's just listening to you do our first Manscaped read, but I'm a little out of breath and my sides are sore. Well done, sir. That was a good read.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. It was fun. And again, we appreciate our partners at Manscaped and hope that you guys will take advantage of that promo code SCARYPOD for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, yeah, it's good stuff, man.
How are you,
so this
Derek?
Week,
I cut you off, man. I'm sorry. I just wanted to return the favor of checking in on you. I'm sorry.
You're fine. You're fine, man. No problem at all. I am punch drunk at the moment. I haven't slept in like 2 days. So.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Time is irrelevant to me anymore.
So you're basically trapped in the cabin that features at the heart of this movie we're reviewing, because that sounds awful.
Pretty much. I'm 12 hours away from writing Sin on some duct tape and putting it over my mouth.
Well, if you need anybody to pull your blanket up, buddy, you let me know. I'll be in Missouri in no time.
Thank you. That's very generous of you. If you don't know by now, we are reviewing the 2020 cinematic masterpiece known as The Lodge.
Yes.
Jeff and I are both very excited to talk to you about it. So we're going to do everything we can to not talk about it. So I know we don't really have much the way of the Horror Reporter. We don't really have much in the way of trailers right now. So I guess the biggest thing that I want to talk to you about, Jeff, and I guess this is kind of this week's Horror Reporter related, is have you seen What We Do in the Shadows, either the TV show or the movie?
There's an old TV show, is that right? Or is it just a new one?
There's a new one, yeah. I don't know if there's an old one or not, but the new one I'm talking about is currently airing on FX.
No, I haven't seen it. I think I'm getting it confused with an old British vampire show that they also remade as a Johnny Depp movie, maybe? And I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're talking about Dark Shadows.
That's it. Yeah, I've seen some of the old Dark Shadow stuff, and it has nothing to do with what you just asked me, so the answer is no.
Yeah, but Dark Shadows was a really cool, like, soap opera that they used to do back in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and the Johnny Depp movie is decent, but it doesn't do that show justice. No, so What We Do in the Shadows was originally a mockumentary movie from Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
Oh, okay.
And it came out like 2014, 2013, somewhere in there. And now they have made a TV show on FX about it. And of course, Waititi and Jermaine Clement aren't in it. Waititi has written and directed a few episodes, and they've done some cameos and stuff like that. But it's in the same universe as the movie. And
unreal. Yeah. How rude. Mute your phone, Jeff Wright.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the starting lineup for the Chicago Bulls.
What a train wreck. Somebody around here runs a podcast and needs to be a professional, and it ain't me. Dadgummit.
It's all right. So anyway, the show is in its second season right now on FX, and I watched it because it's 30 minute episodes, and there's 10 per season. And so I watched the entire run of it last weekend, and dude, it is amazing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it is really good. And the reason I bring it up is because they just renewed it for a third season. So I'm very excited about that.
What platform are you watching this on?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, okay. And you've seen the movie too, right?
Yes.
Is the movie worth reviewing on here?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, it's more of a horror comedy.
Yeah, you know, I get it, but I can stomach that if they're well done.
Yeah, but it's Taika Waititi.
Sure.
And I think it's good, but I will be honest with you and tell you that I enjoy the show more than I enjoyed the movie.
Well, do we do just a mega episode then and like hit the movie, hit the television series, or do a series of episodes? What do you want to do here? We should do something with this.
I'm down for whatever. We could talk about it off air.
All right. But you love it, and I should watch it, and it's great, right?
Yes, yes. It is hysterical, and it also stays true to, like, vampiric, lore. But it also has some really cool cameos in it. And it's just really, it's really fun. It's a really fun show. And I had been meaning to watch it for a while and just hadn't. And so I finally said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to watch this thing. And, to be honest with you, I probably have seen every episode now at least twice.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm excited. Yeah. I haven't got a good source of like comedy in my life right now. And I would like to satisfy that. So thanks for the recommendation, man. I'm fired up to watch it now. Let's just turn this episode off and let's go watch that show.
Yeah. So guys, remember Manscaped, and we'll see you guys back next week.
The launch sucked. See ya.
So I will let you know that there's some mature language in it. So don't watch it around the kiddos.
Yeah.
But it's really great. And I think there's been some chatter about it in the Facebook group. And so, yeah, I just wanted to kind of bring that to your attention because I figured you were like me and you hadn't seen it. And, of course, you know, I threw this piece of crap that we're about to talk to at you. So I feel like I need to redeem myself.
Yeah. Law of averages will work out then, because if it's a multi-season TV show, surely it's going to outweigh this. What's the right word? This film that we watched.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate the recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. So that being said, is there anything you're watching this week?
I finally watched a movie that we talked about years ago called My Friend Dahmer from 2017.
Okay. Yeah.
You remember that? So this is it's a movie about Jeffrey Dahmer's young years. And it is based on a graphic novel by a guy who went to school, I think like middle school, with Jeffrey Dahmer. So anyway, it finally showed up on Amazon Prime. I added it to my watch list, and we sat down to watch it the other night. And man, it is really, really good. The guy who plays Dahmer is named Ross Lynch, and it's a perfect performance. I was really spellbound by the whole thing, and it alludes to his first murder, but you basically get Jeffrey Dahmer right up until the point he encounters his first victim, and it's a really well done movie. Ross Lynch is the guy, again, who plays Dahmer, and he's really good. But you remember the son from Hereditary?
Yeah.
So he plays the second lead, and he has so much more to do in this film than he did in Hereditary, and he's great. So, I've watched a few things. I watched the Harley Quinn movie as well. Mm-hmm. Don't really think that needs commenting on, but My Friend Dahmer, you know, both of them are comic book based properties, and My Friend Dahmer is definitely the one to watch if you're going to pick between the two.
Cool. Yeah, I forgot that Ross Lynch was in Sabrina.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did too.
He was Harvey Kinkle.
Yeah. Man, he is so relatable as Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm a true crime fan. I've read a lot about Jeffrey Dahmer. Everything I know about his younger years, this movie represents faithfully. But, you know, maybe the most twisted thing about it is, like, you'll probably immediately go to that guy in your high school who every high school had at least one. I could name the guy from my high school years right now. We're still Facebook friends. But Jeffrey Dahmer grew up to be a cannibal. And, the guy from my high school ended up having a fairly successful outdoors career. It's relatable. It's compelling. There's overtones of sinister stuff all over it. It's a really well done movie.
Cool, man. And what platform is that on? Is
it Amazon Prime? Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. No additional cost. It's totally worth, whatever the runtime is.
All right. Good deal. I'll have to check that out then for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you'll regret it. I don't want to overhype it too much, but I also don't think you'll regret it.
Yeah. So two parts on that. The first thing, going back to Harvey Kinkle, did you ever go back to the Sabrina series?
No, I never did.
Yeah,
neither did I. The Temple of Satan protest really threw me off. Any desire to watch more.
Right, that makes sense. And then the second thing that's, I guess, completely different from this is I watched I think it was in 2017, the newest version of The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah,
that's the one that killed the Universal Monsterverse, right?
Yeah. Yeah, with good reason.
Oh, no, yeah.
But yeah, I've been trying to track it down for a while, and so I just rented it and watched it, and it was a movie.
Definitely a movie. Out of all the movies out there in the world, this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I did enjoy Russell Crowe playing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Okay,
like I wish that could have been explored more, but Tom Cruise is the Mummy. I'm out.
Yeah.
Plus, if it ain't got Brandon Fraser in it, it's not my mummy movie.
For sure. Hashtag not my mummy.
Yeah. But it was the reason it piqued my interest is I've talked about this on the show before, but Ryan George has a pitch meeting on it. And it hit my YouTube this week, the pitch meeting on The Mummy. And I went, you know what? I've got to watch that. And so I did. And I live to tell about it, so that's good.
Yeah, sometimes the adjacent stuff you like can betray you. I think basically that's what happened to the Harley Quinn thing with me. It may have even been you who was like, "Hey, I watched that movie," and you didn't immediately burst out into screaming and wailing. And so I thought, I'm a completist. I watch all the superhero movies. I'll throw that in. And I immediately burst out into wailing and complaining.
Yeah. I watched that movie in Cookeville at the AMC and honestly regretted all my decisions.
Yeah, that sounds like a real cocktail of awful right there.
Yeah. Luckily, the popcorn was good.
Mm. Well, they say that, daylight shines on a dog's butt every now and then, too. So actually, knowing the leadership over there and the guy, that the popcorn and the concessions is what they have the most direct control over.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And the management at our AMC is not the problem. AMC is the problem.
Right. Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. But yeah, I think as far as like horror goes, that's that and What We Do in the Shadows are really the only two things I've watched this week. I went back and watched Justice League just because, it's been so prominent in pop culture news. And how do you feel about the fact that they're doing shoots for it? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I'm guessing that they just, with his edit, they didn't have all the material he wanted. I don't know how you go back these years later and kind of make it look the same, but
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm happy, as we talked about last week, I'm happy to see this thing. I'm looking forward to seeing this thing. I think it's going to reveal that Zack Snyder is everything I thought he was. If we need to do a little extra shooting for that to come to fruition, I'm happy for that to happen. I don't think it can be worse than what I've already seen Zack Snyder shoot, so maybe he's gotten better over the years.
Yeah. Did you hear the news that came out yesterday that Henry Cavill is going to come back for multiple Superman movies?
No, I didn't. And I'm so glad to hear that, man. For all the problems in the DC Extended Universe, he was not the problem. He was one of the solutions. And so I'm really glad to hear that. He also seems to like playing the character, which I think is important.
If we get more of the like happy-go-lucky, I'm honored to protect this planet, Superman, yep, and not the messianic complex,
yep,
that we got in Man of Steel, then I'm all for it. But if it's that crap, I'm out. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with it. I think you're gonna look at Henry Cavill as either one or two as far as best Superman performances go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's Reeves and everybody else, right?
I was thinking Dean Cain, but yeah, Christopher Reeves. Yeah, no, for sure. It's either Reeves or is it Cavill or Cavill? I think I've said it both ways on the show.
You go with Cavill, I'll go with Cavill, and we'll just cover all our bases.
There we go. Yeah, so it's either Christopher Reeves or Henry Cavill, one or the other.
Yeah, I think it's an issue of material. And, you know, everybody wants to beat up on the cut of Justice League we got. I liked Superman in Justice League, and that's the first time I've been able to say that from the DC Extended Universe. He was fairly likable at the very end of Man of Steel. And then everything else was, you know, like you said, messianic complex, can't relate to this guy. He's conflicted about whether or not he even cares if Earth is a thing. Yeah, none of that's what you go to a Superman story for. I attribute that to Zack Snyder. Henry Cavill seems to be a likable dude who enjoys playing it, has a lot of personality based on what we've seen on social media. Just turn that guy loose. Don't make him brood. Let him be a guy who's excited to be able to fly. And I think you're going to get a great Superman.
Agreed. And I would love to see him and Zachary Levi together for something.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. In the comics in fairly recent years, you know, since they started monkeying with the Captain Marvel mythology, they've kind of set this thing up where Billy Batson looks up to Superman as a mentor. And I'm here for that, too. I'd love that.
Yeah, I'm down for it. The ending scene of Shazam really put that in my head of like, oh, I want to see these two in their matching spandex outfits with each, you know, talking to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have Superman being the semi-frustrated dad trying to straighten this goofball son out, but, you know, still with affection. And let, you know, Shazam, Zachary Levi be the guy who's trying really hard to impress his Michael Jordan. And that sounds like a movie I would love to watch. A superhero buddy cop.
Yeah. Sign me up. Okay, let's just do it.
In the episode, that's what you want to do?
No, let's, I mean...
Don't you say it, Derek. Don't you do it.
We swore an oath. So we have to go to the main event, and you know what? Wahlberg!
What? No!
Spoiler alert. Mark, I'm sorry we drug you into this.
You notice it didn't even go for the fanfare. Yeah. On this one, I don't even want to, you know, I don't want the projector to hit. I just want this one over with.
I mean, that's what I felt about 10 minutes into watching this movie.
Yeah. So, on air or on record, for the record, since, I mean, this isn't live to air, but for the record, I want to apologize to you for, putting this dreck in your path. I watched it once, probably in one of these, sleep, you know, deprived times of my existence right now. And I thought that I had watched a pretty good movie. And then you and I decided that we were going to do this last week. And so I said, well, I'm going to catch back up on it because already I should have realized that by not remembering anything that happened in the movie, it wasn't a good movie. But I was like, well, I need to just freshen up and watch it and see what's going on. And oh boy, I almost didn't return your text messages because I was just afraid that you were just going to dog cuss me.
Well, never. Here's that thought.
And I would have deserved it. Like, I know that you wouldn't, but if any time that you should have, it probably would have been for this. So, man,
This is an unfortunate movie.
Yeah, it really is, man. And I don't know where to start with it. I really like Riley Keough.
Yeah. Yeah. The cast in this thing should make a better movie.
Yeah. So there's two questions I want to start off with, and this might be good jumping points for us. Okay.
Okay.
Were you as clueless as I was that Alicia Silverstone was going to kill herself in the first 10 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, that was the one point of interest, basically, for me in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what your experience was like. I watched this with my wife. You know, we're now in couples counseling.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Actually, I told her just kind of, I think I've mentioned on here before, she's not a huge fan of the genre. And I've had to send her out of the room in previous watchings of different movies because she'll just sit there and kind of nitpick them. And I agree a lot of times with her nitpicking, but just having it external rather than my own mind is a big distraction.
Sure.
So I told her, I was like, I've got to watch a crappy, scary movie. Do you want to watch it with me or do you want me to go watch it, you know, in the bedroom by myself? And she said, nah, I hadn't watched a movie in a while. I'll do it. And I said, look, it could be terrible and I don't want to, you know, I want to set you up. I don't want to hear it if you are choosing to watch this with me. You know, I'm happy to just watch this on my own. So she was sort of accidentally prepped just because I was warning her against the general pattern, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we spent the first part of the movie being like, is that Alicia Silverstone? That is Alicia Silverstone. Hey, look, it's Alicia Silverstone, because it was kind of fun to have her back in our lives.
Yeah.
And then when she shot herself, my wife crushed my hand. We were holding hands watching the movie, and she just snapped my hand up in the air and put a death grip on it, which seemed totally appropriate. That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
It just happened so quickly. And out of everything I have to say negative about this movie, they really rope-a-dope me into her getting a gun out and shooting herself. I think I feel like I can see that stuff coming, and this one I didn't. So long answer. Short answer is yes.
Yeah. And when you say rope-a-dope, that's a really good way of putting it, too, because I think that it rope-a-doped me into thinking, oh, this is going to be a decent movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't see it. I did not see it coming. And so I was, same emotions that you guys had. Alicia Silverstone's on the screen. I'm excited to have Alicia Silverstone. But then my mind starts to wonder, was Alicia Silverstone in the Santa Clarita Diet? Because I always get her and Drew Barrymore mixed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's reasonable.
And so I started thinking about that. And then the next thing I know, boom. I was like, oh, okay. Well, there goes your most marketable star. You know, probably the most well-known. I think Riley Keough is starting to get a pretty good fan base. And, of course, the kid from It is on a roll right now, you know, as far as performances go. Maybe not movies, but as far as performances go, the dudes are doing really well. So I'm into it. And then you get what, 90 minutes of nothing after that?
Yeah. And it's 90 minutes of nothing presented in the most grating fashion possible.
Yeah.
I've bellyached about this on here before, so I'll try to go quickly through it. But from the moment we go to Dad's house, I'm basically out on this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about unwelcoming architecture before,
mm-hmm.
and nobody wants to live in that dude's house.
Yeah.
When they go into the kitchen, I'm like, no one wants a kitchen like this unless you're a Frank Lloyd Wright devotee and you don't actually intend to do kitchen stuff in it. You know what I mean? It looks like it's annoyed with having to be a kitchen.
Yeah.
And I just thought, okay, I guess I'm supposed to see this guy as some level of sophisticated, I guess, because I think that's what modernist architecture is supposed to suggest to me. I realize, though, that this is a movie that's going to go for aesthetics rather than the things that are more essential to a good movie in my mind. Story, relatable characters, plausibility, likability, right? It's just going to go for the look. Mm-hmm. And once I saw the house, once I saw the kitchen, I was like, cool, cool. This is all I need to know, I think. And it turned out that I was right.
Yeah. So that leads me to my second question. Do you know a worse father outside of Chris Benoit?
Oh,
than this,
gosh.
Than this
Still
character.
Too soon. Holy cow, that popped me. No, it's the dumbest choice in the world, man. And again, watching it with my wife, that was just immediately super highlighted. When he starts driving away and he's like, I'll be back in a couple days. I was like, wait. This is a kid who's raised by a cult and you're leaving him with your kids in the middle of a snowed in winter nights, you know, nightmarescape. What are you doing, dude? The movie goes for aesthetics over plausibility and likability and story. Yeah. And I told you off air, I may have liked this movie better if we hadn't seen Gretel and Hansel so, you know, so close upon it. But I feel like The Lodge is largely a great value version of Gretel and Hansel. And so all my criticisms carry right over. This is just an even, like, the strengths of this movie are weaker than Gretel and Hansel's. So I'm just left with nothing but despising.
Yeah. Well, okay. Did you get like a little twinge or even more so of Hereditary in this?
For sure. For sure. I mean, yeah. They make those choices in a way that feels telegraphed to me. So, like, we're going to get the interior shot of the cabin. And I really do feel like that is a big placard on the screen saying, think of us in the same way you think about Hereditary. But it's a cheap move that the movie doesn't justify. Maybe we should start thinking of Ari Aster as a scale. And, like, you know, this is like 30% Ari Aster. And, you know, maybe Gretel and Hansel are like 65% Ari Aster. And maybe that's just what... maybe there's going to be a species of horror from now on that's just trying to ape Ari Aster.
Lord God, I hope not.
Yeah.
I can't. We'll have to do something different with this show because I can't.
I couldn't agree more. It's a multiplicity scenario at that point, right? You clone this guy, and with Ari Aster's case, he's not all that great anyway. You clone him, and you start making clones of the clone, and we're in a hellscape pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I realize that that's a hot take, you know, for you and I. I know that the majority of the people that listen to the show are fans of Ari Aster. But obviously, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, then you know that Jeff and I aren't. But it really did feel like that the producers of this or the writers of this or whatever, they watched Hereditary. They saw some cool tropes that they wanted to ape, and they did it. Like the aesthetic, the family, the almost the possession, you know, part of this. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, or not most importantly, but like the most striking one was the dolls, like the dollhouse and the little toys. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, dang, is that little chick going to come back? And because that's what they were doing in Hereditary.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. And you've already got... the sense just from the aesthetics of the film that it wants to do Hereditary stuff. So that's a very reasonable suspicion.
Yeah.
Speaking of just the crazy aesthetics of this film, have you ever in your entire life seen or heard of a family who eats lasagna and peas for their Thanksgiving meal?
No.
And decorates their house by hanging plastic cooked turkeys up from the ceiling?
No.
If you could be as charitable as possible to the creators of this film, what do you think they were thinking with those choices? Because again, I'm going to say believability is important in a movie.
Right.
If you want me to care about this family and believe that they care about each other, in a way that sets up me caring if the kids are alienated from their dad or not, I'm going to have to believe they live in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like down to the most minute choices, they were just telling us, no, this is all pretense and aesthetic.
So the writers and the directors, they're the same people.
Okay.
Their names are Sergio Caschi, uh-huh, maybe, and Veronica Franz. And so they wrote and directed this movie, and they're both from Austria, I believe. I know France is, at least. Do you think that maybe this is their interpretation of what American holiday is?
I have no idea. Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe the two times they've been to an American Thanksgiving, they ran into some weirdos, and that is how they did it. I mean, that makes as much sense as anything.
Yeah. Now, their other claim to fame, this duo, is a movie called Good Night, Mommy.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that, but never watched it.
Okay. I haven't seen it either, so that's why I wanted to bring it to your attention to see if maybe you had. In everything that I've read about this movie or watched, listened to and stuff, people said that it's the same vein. Good Night, Mommy is the same vein as The Lodge.
Well, I've just taken it off my list.
Yeah. But yeah, that was really the only reason I wanted to bring that up, is just because I wanted to know if you had seen it, what you thought about it. So I guess my next question to you is, how quick were you to figure out that the kids were gaslighting whatever her name was?
Yeah.
Lori?
Yeah. Not quick, but it's because I was bored by the movie and didn't care. At that point, I was just looking to see it through. And I didn't, I mean, honestly.
Grace, not Lori.
Yeah. Sorry. That's how forgettable this is.
Yeah.
At that point, I hate sad endings to movies. We've talked about that. I don't like it when kids or women are tortured and murdered. You know, that's just not my jam as a horror fan. I was rooting for her to kill the kids and kill herself so I could turn off the TV. I just wanted closure.
I was rooting for the dog, man. When the dog bit it, I was out.
The dog made the most sane choice of anybody involved in this movie as a creator or a watcher. Just run into the dark night and pray for sweet death to take you.
Yeah, I saw it coming.
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely stunned.
I don't think I saw it coming in the way that the movie wanted me to see it coming, but it was real easy to see, like, oh, these kids are just going to warm up to her automatically after they blame her for, you know, the death of their mom.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh, yeah, here's some cocoa. And, oh, yeah, you know, this is what's going on. At no point whatsoever during the movie did I think, oh, yeah, they're dead. And I thought that that was a real weird turn. Like, I think this movie could have been good even if you would have went to, like, the old tired trope of the power goes out and people are trying to kill him.
Yeah, or the power goes out and they're going to freeze to death.
Yeah, or the power goes out because there's a supernatural entity there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, had her dad been, like, some kind of possessed spirit or something lurking around and causing this stuff to happen, that would have been... I could have bought that. It maybe would have enjoyed it more. But the fact is like these kids, and granted, man, they've been through it, right? Like, yeah. their mom is taking her life, and you know, no child should have to lose their parent that young and stuff. But also, I mean, excuse me, but these kids are dicks.
Well, everybody in the movie is, except Grace.
Yeah.
And that, again, to the things that I hate most about movies, give me something to root for.
Yeah.
I basically cared about the little girl, right, and that was it. And I'm stammering because I'm so frustrated with this movie. Dad is married, you know, moved in with this other woman before the divorce is final with the wife, right?
Yeah, whom he apparently met while researching this cult.
Yes, as if it's not creepy for a dude to take advantage of someone who's been in, you know, mental duress. Maybe we're not supposed to connect those dots, but as a guy who's involved in organized religion, I realize it's a problem, right?
Well, it's like meeting somebody at AA, right?
Well, like at their first AA meeting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't care for dad. Obviously, mom's in deep distress. This isn't, you know, he can look at her and tell she's not doing well because they, out of all the aesthetic choices they make, we see this. She runs out the door when he's like, hey, we're, you know, this woman I'm living with and I'm not divorced with you. We're going to go ahead and get married. Let's get this done. Like, the dude, I can't lay suicide on any one factor, but you're not exactly holding up your end of the bargain here, pal, even if the marriage is coming apart. So, like, right, the kids aren't wrong that dad's choices have a hand in this, even if he, you know, maybe doesn't bear ultimate responsibility. He presses on, pushing this woman that they're clearly uncomfortable with on them. They respond, you know, in the most horrific way possible. I don't want any of these people to succeed. I basically want the little girl to be left alone, and everybody else can just go out there with the dog.
Yeah, but bring the dog back.
Sure. We could trade his life for theirs in the movie. In the movie.
Is this movie the most applicable, like, life meeting art representation of this year? Well, and hear me out when I say this, because this is the dark side of the parent trap. Right.
Uh-huh.
Kids trying to get back at the step parent for breaking up the family. Like, there's a lot of those movies where we see stuff like this happen. I mean, obviously not to this extreme, but we see stuff like this happen and we go, oh, that's cute. You know, they're trying to get their parents back together or whatever. And here we have no hero. And we see these kids doing the exact same stuff again to a much larger extreme. But it's just, I mean, it's the same principles, right?
Sure. Sure. The only caveat I've got to your idea that this is a metaphor for the year is that I have to double check IMDb to see if anyone just filmed a tire fire in a dumpster. If that exists, it probably trumps this one.
It was in that house that Grace walked to.
Yeah.
She thought she was seeing her dad in it, but actually it was just a dumpster fire burning in the middle of the house.
So let me ask you this about this film. And I'm actually going to extend the question to listeners, because there are people who are much more sophisticated in terms of knowledge of the film industry and the film genre than I am. I need to know what genre this movie belongs to. So there, the marks that I can tell are that it's super interested in scenery.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it's hyper interested in the natural sounds within a room as the action is taking place. Like, you hear every brush of fabric against fabric and every clink of a zipper on, you know, the metal teeth of the zipper. Like, it's got, you know, it's got a super sensitive ear for sound. And it's filled with these extended scenes of just brooding or looking at a landscape. And I know it's got to be a distinct genre. I'm suspicious that maybe it belongs to the mumblecore film family, but I just don't know enough to make that final pronouncement.
Mm-hmm.
But there are common elements here. Again, super preoccupied with scenery, super preoccupied with the sounds that are taking place within the room. I think they think it's realistic. A lot of them also run everything. Sorry, out here in the hood.
931 in the mother house. Sorry.
And they all run it through a weird filter that is, you know, it's somewhere between thin pea soup and a jar of urine. I see this, you know, across a whole spectrum of films. There's definitely a subgenre in horror of the same species. And I just need somebody to help me categorize it. Yeah, I need like a school of rock for this kind of movie.
I think that the most generic thing you'll hear about this is it's a psychological thriller.
That's true, for sure.
That's going to be the dumbed down version of it. I also feel like that this is cinematography porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, see, that's getting more to like the defining feature that I want to have a vocabulary for.
Yeah,
because you can do psychological thrillers a whole bunch of different ways, but there is this. Again, the guy who made Gretel and Hansel, his whole resume belongs to this category of film. I feel like I see a better version of it in like the Coen brothers, particularly with like Fargo. So again, mumblecore is the closest thing I can get to, but you talking about it as cinematography porn is the exact thing I'm trying to get to, along with the audio. It's an aesthetic issue, and I want to know what they call it at USC's film school. Maybe they call it cinematography porn.
Maybe. I don't know. I was just thinking maybe we could email somebody from UCLA, be like, hey, tell us what you think about this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will lose all respect if they don't write back and say, don't ever contact us again if this is what you're going to ask us about.
Yeah. But then I'm also going to be like, hey, no worries. Just go to manscaped.com and use the promo code SCARYPOD for 20% off.
They look at you redeeming the time. Hey, I don't know if you – are you a Hitchcock fan? I don't think we've ever really talked about Hitchcock on the podcast.
I am. I'm not a hardcore Hitchcock fan. I haven't seen all the stuff that, you know, he's done. Of course, I've seen the big stuff, you know, The Birds and what, Rear View Window or Rear – whatever the name of that movie is. Clearly, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. We covered The Birds on our run-up to Us. Yeah.
Right. I've seen several of Hitchcock's films. I remember very clearly as a child watching reruns of Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, where he would walk into the silhouette, good evening. Like, I remember all that. I love the movie with Anthony Hopkins playing Hitchcock.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that one. I should look that up.
Yeah. I have a healthy appreciation for him, but I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't know much about, outside of the broad strokes, I don't know much about like his filmmaking stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I ask because there is a good version of this movie in Alfred Hitchcock's resume. It's called Rebecca. It's from 1940. The whole idea is that basically a man's second wife believes that the house they live in is haunted by his first wife. And it has.
Okay, I have seen that.
Okay, well, it's got Laurence Olivier in it. It's a good movie. It could be updated very easily and, you know, created in 2020. It's literally a template. And I've got to believe that if I injected the people who created this movie, that they've got that film, Rebecca, on their mind. Mm-hmm. But I also want to ask them, like, are you not ashamed of yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, make Rebecca again, add some kids, and do better. Give me 37% less shots of the snowy front yard. Make me care about a couple characters. And you've updated Rebecca in a way that'll make you some money, and I won't feel like you've insulted me personally.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all for anything that gets this movie out of the way.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to come on and make a joke about how they stole footage of my old sermons for this film. But I can't even rise to like the level of mirth that would require. You know what I mean? This is such a waste of digital print.
Yeah.
I couldn't dislike this movie more, I don't think, unless it was filled with like torture stuff.
And a waste of the Heaven's Gate cult. Like, they deserve better.
Yes. Yeah, just give me a straight-up Heaven's Gate version of this. That's exactly right. I really do feel like the people who made this movie thought they had really good ingredients for a stew, and they went out and tried to make chicken casserole and left it in the oven too long. Hmm. There's about six different ways you could take this movie and make it interesting and good, and they chose none of those.
Yeah.
But we did get to see a frozen dog carcass thawing in a dog bed, so there's that.
And Elvis's granddaughter's side boob.
Okay. Well, you know, I missed that. I can't say I regret that. But
really, I was just trying to drop Elvis's granddaughter.
Yeah, it's good data. I don't even know who that is. Which one of the cast is that?
Oh, it's Riley Keogh.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. She's Lisa Marie Presley's daughter. And the guy that plays the dad in this, the Heaven's Gate, you know, leader or whatever, he is Riley Keogh's actual father, Danny Keogh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a cool detail.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, okay. My computer just let me know that there's no viruses on my hard drive. That was timely.
Oh, praise God. Well, I mean, we have been talking about this for like 40 minutes, so if it was going to happen, it should have happened right now.
Yeah, it's more interesting than this movie. Riley Keogh was good in Fury Road. Appreciated her in there. Don't have real problems with her performances. Don't have real problems with Jaden Martell, although I don't believe he knows how to stunt engineer a hanging that won't kill him if he's just a normal kid.
Yeah.
I thought Leah McHugh was great, and Richard Armitage was fine. And that's all I got really good to say about this movie.
Yeah. Richard Armitage, in my opinion, was misused, you know, much like Alicia Silverstone. Like, you got two really good actors that can really pull out great performances. And granted, the story doesn't need them much, but I don't know. I feel like in that situation, you cater the story to allow two of your best actors to be more a part of it.
But to do some stuff. Yeah.
Dude, I think that's it for me. I don't think I've got much else to say about this one.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm done here as well. It's not your fault. I've picked plenty of stinkers in my life, but I really wish I hadn't seen this movie. I wish I just left it unviewed and spent my time, I don't know, relacing my shoes or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had read and seen different reviews to where some people enjoyed it. You know, one lady I remember in particular gave it a 7, which I thought was insane.
Yeah. 7 on a scale of 100.
And then there was also a guy very explicitly said it was the worst piece of garbage he's ever seen. I don't think I'll go that far.
Yeah. Really? That seems really sane. No, I'm just kidding.
Martyrs seen worse exist. This year.
Yeah. Okay. I go back to the torture stuff that, we watched on the lead up to Us, but sure. We also saw Gretel and Hansel this year.
Well, we also saw Brahms too.
Oh gosh. See, actually, I'll just be honest with you. I think I'd rather watch Brahms too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for any particular reason other than I just didn't have to spend so much time looking over a frozen pond.
Yeah.
You know, stuff was happening in Brahms. And it may have been laughable, but it was happening. So anyway, I'm sure we differ on that one. This is really low on my scale of acceptable uses of my time.
Sure.
I mean, I get it. And I, like I said, it wasn't my favorite either, but the reason I brought all that up is, it's just, it was crazy to me how like polarizing this movie turned out to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, having now seen it, I think I get it. I just can't understand the far side of the spectrum. Like, I don't know who gets really fired up for this movie.
Yeah. Well, and it was a lot of, I don't want to say pretentious, but it was sort of pretentious. And, you know, in the lady's review where she was talking about like psychological thrillers and this movie said something to the effect of like, this movie made me it frightened me to the point where I had to like use a nightlight.
Huh?
And yeah. And I was just like, I don't understand. Like, do you think that somebody's going to take you off your bipolar medication and you're you know, you're yeah. not going to be able to. None of it makes sense.
Nothing in this movie is a threat to real people. I mean,
right.
You guys love Halloween. Yeah, there are people who break into people's houses and kill them. I really don't think I've ever read a story about a negligent dad dropping his kids off in a frozen wasteland with a woman recovering from growing up in a suicide cult. Never read that. Yeah. Not scared that that's going to happen to me or my loved ones.
And not only that, but then to have the kids be so evil, for lack of a better term, that they gaslight her and they hide the medication. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I know the kids are going to be rambunctious, and, you know, I'm sure you and I played our fair share of pranks on parents and friends and stuff like that. But as somebody who dealt with a mother who had a mental illness, mm-hmm. It never would have crossed my mind to be like, oh, I'm going to hide mom's pills.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
You know, like, that just seems like the ultimate recipe for horror. And it should have been,
yeah.
right? Like, this could have been The Shining.
Could have, should have.
Like, it could have been like the female version of The Shining, but instead we just get a bunch of art house porn.
Yes, sir. That's it.
All right, let's put a bow on this one, man. Scale of 1 to 10, where are you ranking it?
A 1. There's nothing of merit in this film for me, and the 1 comes from it not being something like Martyrs that's just based on torturing women.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to keep something beneath this movie to describe truly reprehensible films.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at.
Okay. I guess I'm the horror uncle in this one then. I'll give it a 2.
Mm. You're a gracious person.
I think the reason being is because I did enjoy the performances in the movie, and the movie was beautiful. But more so just based on the performances. I thought that the kids did a really good job, even though I wasn't, you know, I didn't like them. And
well, the little girl I thought was pretty charming, and that's a credit to the actress.
Yeah,
I didn't find anybody else charming in this.
You're not wrong. And when she breaks down and like reveals that they've been messing with Grace the whole time, I felt that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. She did do a really good job with it. But I also thought that Jalen, you know, played a really skeezy kid that you could see wanting to pull something off like this.
Yeah, I'm conflicted about that dude. I mean, he straight up destroyed Grace, and you know, they reaped all the fruit of that.
Yeah.
But when he goes in to sleep in his crying sister's room in the floor and hold her hand, I was like, man, that's a good big brother, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the ending of this movie. Man, give me a freaking ending. At least let me see what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they went the Inception route with it, right?
You're a gracious guy to stretch that far.
But I mean, that's what they're going.
That's what they think they're doing. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to leave this gun that's clearly loaded on the table, and that's going to be the last thing you see. And you choose your own ending. Did the top stop spinning, or is he stuck in, you know, is he stuck in Inception forever?
Yeah. Well,
and it's the same thing.
The movie was never ending, and it's just hot garbage. I'll quit. I know I'm just rambling at this point, but
no, you're fine. But I mean, you're right. We should devote a minute to talk about the ending. To again leave your kids with someone that they clearly don't like, that clearly has suffered extensive trauma, is still trying to get over said trauma, knows how the kids feel about her,
is dependent upon pills to maintain her mental health.
Yeah. You're going to leave her by herself with these children, where she's clearly had no, I mean, as far as we know, she's clearly had no experience with kids.
Yeah.
But not only that, you're going to leave them with her with a loaded gun in the house. Like, what? Again, the worst father since Chris Benoit.
Yeah. I got nothing good to say about dad in this one.
Yeah. So, all right. So one for you, 2 for me. I think that's fair. I mean, I think I speak for you when I say we didn't see anything scary.
No. You know, the the Alicia Silverstone suicide was a moment. So the film had a moment. I thought they did a pretty good job of having Grace emerge from the darkness behind the little girl when the little girl comes out of the attic to go to the bathroom the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't rise to the level of actually being scary.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't even think that you should classify this as like a horror movie.
Mm-mm. No, I'm with you.
It's everything but that, I think.
And it's hard to even put it in the category of thriller, because thriller is supposed to imply some kind of visceral reaction.
Yeah, some kind of thrill.
Yes. And
yeah.
None of that's here. So I don't really know what you would call this. Like, I'm just really struggling. I would love to hear someone who knows better what genres of film exist. Tell me that, because I want to know where to stick a film like this and never watch another one of them.
Yeah. So I guess that leaves it up to you. You've heard Jeff and my opinion on this movie. We would love to hear from you as well. The best way to do that would be to follow our Facebook group. Join the Facebook group. We Saw Something Scary, and you can give us your opinion on what you think The Lodge is. Did you enjoy it? Did you hate it? Anything that Jeff and I missed that you'd like to talk about, we would love to talk to you about that. So again, hit us up in that Facebook group, We Saw Something Scary. I think every Saturday right now, Jeff, they're doing trivia in that thing.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I need to get back into that. I had a good time sitting in on the one I did, and I need to figure out how to get my schedule straightened out where I can do some more of that.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of trivia and you're a fan of this podcast, go ahead and hook up there. Do us a favor as well and like, review, subscribe to the podcast on all your podcast platforms, whichever way you get it. But most importantly, if you could, we would definitely appreciate 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Get the word out more about our little show here, and we would appreciate that. And then also, if you want to partner up with us and get those bonus episodes, those bonus content, Saw Something Scary has a Patreon, patreon.com/scarypodcast. And you can join there. And for as little as $3 a month, you get a bonus episode each month coming to you and you alone, live and in living color. So be on the lookout for that. Also, Patreons, be on the lookout for your bonus episode. Should be coming in the next week, I would imagine.
Yeah, we've got a limited number of days, and we've got a pretty good movie to review. So I'm looking forward to Palate Cleanse.
Yeah, for sure. And that'll be a good one to do it on. He's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo, and we are out of time. Remember, 20% off and free shipping with manscaped.com, promo code SCARYPOD. And Jeff and I appreciate our partners at Manscaped for sponsoring the show today. And we will see you guys back here next week. But until then, beware of clowns and sewers, blind men with turkey basters, and white people with teacups. See you back here next week. Bye-bye, man.